Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I don't care, it's recorded, but your face is amazing, Richie.
Mate.
What?
Really playing it down, yeah?
In a world where there are more podcasts than grains of sand, a motley crew set themselves the challenge of a lifetime. To find the most kick-ass things to do. And do them. This is... To Kill an Hour with Marcus Bronzi and a few guys who, well, they claim to be his friends.
Are you serious?
Hey, what's happening, bruv?
Oh, that fucking does kick ass. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie though, at one point during the crescendo, I was expecting Redman and Method Man Smash Something to kick in.
Oh my days. I can't wait to get a ropey remix of it where we don't get DMCA striked on it so you can play that at the end. I'd love that, man.
It's so good. Who cares?
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks. Welcome to the show. It's the How to Kill an Hour, Marcus Bronzi.
Richie Driz.
How you doing, Richie, man?
Very well, my guy. Thank you.
Good, good. We've got a lot to talk about today. We had a scramble before the episode because it's a bit of an impromptu recording this,
yeah,
yeah. But I feel like we've ended up with more to talk about and more to do than not. But before that all cracks on, mate, how are you in and of yourself?
Listen, in and of myself, I am sailing along the ocean of this thing that we call life.
Yeah, man. Sometimes you just got to do that, innit? You got to get your sails up.
Sometimes you got to ride the tidal waves. Sometimes you got to paddle. Other times you feel like you're going to drown. It is what it is.
Yeah, I hear that, man.
I don't know where the hell that metaphor come from, but I'm quite happy with it.
I mean, you took it all the way there.
I did.
I think you ran out of other things to say about it. I was thinking paddle,
how many things can you do really in the sea, though?
Yeah, to be fair. Do you know what?
Other times you're on a speedboat and everything is great,
or in a cruise ship,
yeah, and everything's chill,
yeah, and then someone says this ship will never sink and we all know how that went.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
we've run that into the ground, man. But this is How to Kill an Hour show, where we look at the internet, talk about it, we also try new things, just like our friend Red Pepper, who gave us the intro. By the way, I've said this to Sean, another host of the show, he is the guy that's the actual guy that does the voices. Like, he is the guy.
Oh, I thought it was an impressionist.
No, he's the man.
Not to take anything away from him, because it was a great impression, but also I thought, you can't afford the guy.
Well, we interviewed him over lockdown. You know that time in lockdown where everybody was kind of like doing interviews from home?
Yeah.
He has a whole studio. So like, we had an interview chat with him about what it's like being the voice of trailers. And he is over this side of the water, at least.
Yeah.
He's the guy. So he told us about one of his best gigs, which was a one-word gig. Saw. He just went, saw. Which,
that's
obviously
it.
That's not me doing it. Saw.
Then did you ask him how much you got paid for just saying that one word?
It's his full-time job, bruv.
Oh, my.
It's his full-time job. I would say it's probably pound for pound, one of the best jobs he's ever done. Because I think, when you think about it, there are high-paid jobs, but they require a lot of effort, right?
Yeah.
He's got the voice.
Yeah.
He's done all the training. To say one word is amazing.
What percentage change is it from his natural speaking voice to soar?
He's got a naturally really...
That was quite good.
It was all right. I mean, I don't know what Red would say. But he's got a naturally really gravelly strong voice, but he can actually do quite high pitched ones as well. So he's done like a Mr. Bean thing as well. He can do all sorts. He's amazing. He coaches people and stuff.
Huh.
But anyway, enough about that. This is the show where we talk about killing time. And the first bit of the show is all about our killer bit. And I'm going to jump in straight away, Richie. And I'm going to drive for this section of the show to say we've been working with a whiskey club. A whiskey club.
A club of whiskeys. Oh my days, this sounds like heaven.
Yes, it's called Somerton Whiskey Club. And yeah, we're doing some work with them. You may have heard some ads before this show. You may hear some ads at the end of this show. And pretty much the gist is, if you want to get involved in this amazing whiskey club, where you can get an £80 bottle of whiskey for 50 quid, all you have to do is go to somertonclub.com/hour or use the code hour at checkout. And do that before the 4th of December and you can get your hands on some delicio whiskey. But anyway, I don't know much about whiskey. We've spoken about this on the show. I'm more of a yak man, which we can talk about later. But I wanted to know more about whiskey. So the guy who is behind Somerton popped over. His name is Dan. Lovely. And we did a 10-minute taster session. And obviously it lasted longer than 10 minutes. So here's just a little bit of that. Hey, so here we are in another time and space. Yeah, hello and welcome to a 10-minute taster. Here we are joined by somebody who is more the knowledgeable in the world of whiskey, well, much more so than myself. And they're going to help us taste some whiskeys over the next 10 minutes or so. Helping me through this is Daniel Humphrey, the co-founder, or the founder, should I say, of Somerton Whiskey Club. And Somerton Whiskey Club has an amazing backstory that I want to get into before we do any tasting. Can you please share it with us? I've heard it before, but I really want to hear it again.
Thank you. Co-founder's probably right, because it all started as a Christmas present to my dad. He's paraplegic, which reduces the amount of presents you can get him. And he's one of those people that if I want something, I'll buy it. So trying to think, what do I get? I want something special. I know he likes a drink. And there's beer clubs, gin clubs, wine clubs. Like, there's got to be a whiskey club, a rum club, something else out there. And there wasn't. Because I wanted to buy it for him as a Christmas present. And as no one else did it, and he needed something cool, I made it for him.
Mm.
And it started off like that. I went and offered it to, I told my mates about it, and they went, can you get me a bottle for my mum, my dad, my auntie, uncle, yeah, brother, sister, friend? I was like, all right, I'll get another one. And all of a sudden you're like, hang on, there's a lot of you now. Is this a thing?
Yeah.
It is, isn't it? And then Somerton Whiskey Club was born. We started offering it out to other people. And the co bit is, yes, it was for dad, but dad being the first member, I also ask him stuff still. So he's involved in it. Like there is a bottle we just shared. He's actually the one that made the decision on that's the one we can do. And what we've become now is a bi-monthly, every 2 months, whiskey subscription. We send out a full bottle to just our members around the country so they can enjoy a different whiskey each time, a new experience. The idea is to introduce you to new flavors, new styles, new regions, new things for you to then go, I like this. I want to find more out about this. I want to go further and I'm going to explore this more. Also, what you don't like. So you know, I'm never going to do that one again.
Yeah. Okay. Can we step into some whiskies today?
Yes,
then? I think we've got a selection. For those of you who aren't watching, who are just listening by audio, we have a selection of whiskies in front of us. And you've also got some mixers as well, haven't you?
So all of these are club bottles that we've shared or are about to share. And this one was is special to me. If you see it in the thing, this is the first whiskey that I completely created myself. I shared a label with my friend who helped me do it. He helped me source the casks. Then I went, I know what I want to do with this. We put them into port casks.
Mm.
And that was my thought too.
Yeah.
I know this flavour will go really well with some fruity port in it. And we picked it up as a 13-year-old, put it into those port casks, and then when it hit 15, tasted it, I was like, ooh, this is what I was going for.
Oh, yeah. Oh, also, guys, stay listening. We've got a very nice little surprise at the end of this as well, which we'll get into that. Dan's giving me a little bit of insight on that. But let's focus on this right now. So
just smell it. Don't like...
That, you just hear me go, but it's that's really sweet. Like for me, like in a pleasant way. I really like that. I'm getting that fruity. I might not be as good at describing the flavors that you get here, but I'm definitely getting those fruity flavors, and that would be coming from that second bit of the casking.
Yeah, mainly, and then you might get a little bit of vanilla in the background.
Yeah,
that's another. You know, it does have other sweet notes in it, a little bit more mellow, and that comes from the first set of casks.
Yeah. Great.
Where we're going to go next is a little bit more traditional.
Okay.
We're going to go for a single malt scotch.
Right.
And it's our next club bottle.
All right.
So this is a sneak peek.
All right.
No one knows that this is coming yet because we keep it as a surprise until it arrives.
All right.
So I'm not, what? You can see the back of the bottle.
Okay.
That is all you're getting to know what it is. You'll have to sign up to enjoy this one.
Okay. What can you tell us about this? You gave me a little smidge of information about this, but I'd love you to tell the listener about what you can about this.
Yeah, this is a difficult one because I don't normally share anything, but you've got to know a little bit. So it's a single malt scotch, mm-hmm. traditional. It's a new release. It came out last month. And I'll tell you what, do you notice any similarities between this and the last one? So whilst it's a different grain, so you're going to have a different level of almost depth mm-hmm. in there. It's like going between pork and chicken, both meat, but they're not the same.
Has this been in a cask for a year and a bit, something else? Has it been over there?
It has been in a certain cask.
Okay, all right.
Do you want
okay.
me to give you a little hint?
Go on, give me a little hint for it. Okay, all right, am I allowed to say?
Go on. Might as well.
It's been in a pork cask. Yeah. I've, by the way, I didn't know that from the smell. I've read that. But I'll be honest. But so it's got, like you said, it's got the different flavour underneath it, but then you've got that sweetness around it, which is a different kind of sweetness because port is a different, obviously different flavour to what you get from sherry. So, okay, this tastes much more like scotch, probably closer to what I'd associate scotch drinkers with and more of what I would think of when it comes to the smell of whiskey. All right, so go for this. Okay. All right.
And see, what we're getting here is they've been treated in similar ways, mm-hmm. but we started at a different point with a different grain.
Okay.
And that shows just straight away one level of difference you can have in whiskey, which means that I've got hundreds of bottles to go through before I can show you like a smidgen of what's possible in the world of whiskey. There's that much variation.
Yeah.
And where are you, like, how of those two, which one do you prefer?
The thing is, they're so different, it's hard to kind of say I like one. I like them both in different ways. Yeah. So I like the Somerton and Whiskey Baron crossover because I think that's a good entry level for someone like myself. He's a cognac drinker, very sweet drink, quite a thick and strong drink. Whereas this is more of a whiskey drinker's drink, I feel like. So if you're somebody who wants to get more into whiskey, this is a nice entry, a nice thing to try. However, I think if you're a whiskey fan, I don't think you'd be disappointed by this because it has the kind of flavour and taste of a what you'd call a proper whiskey, but it feels like refined. I think I feel like it's not like firewater whiskey. Do you know what I mean? This is really, really tasty. At the moment, it's hard for me to call it, you know, but I really like this. Here's what I could see myself drinking this by the fire.
That's it.
Snow outside, yeah. Christmas music in the background. Maybe a little mince pie to my right. I think maybe something like that. That's what I can see myself doing. I can see myself relaxing and on the way into Christmas and on the way out of Christmas, I see that being a really nice drink for me. I really like that. And I've got whiskey drinkers. Do you know what? I've got whiskey drinkers around me that I think will appreciate this. They'd really like this because this feels like they'd enjoy this kind of whiskey. And it's got a lovely story behind it as well.
That's it. And the good thing about this is if you're thinking about getting a couple of presents for your mates, you know, you like whiskey, this is a £75 bottle of whiskey. Maybe 80.
Yeah.
It depends on where you're buying it from. And members pay £50 and get free delivery.
Sweet.
So just sign up, get this bottle, maybe sign up three times, get this bottle for free, mates, and pause or cancel afterwards. And just enjoy. Like, with how prices are going up in the world, I'm hating it. And so we're not putting up our prices. Haven't put them up since 2018.
Sweet.
Because I want people to have access to great whiskey at a fair price.
Yeah.
And so this is one of those great deals. Like we do get a good deal every time, but this is a really good deal.
Yeah, man. Nice. All right. What have we got coming up next then?
This is the Curveball.
Okay. All right. All right.
So this is technically another single grain whiskey. It comes from Canada from a distillery called Black Fox Farm and Distillery.
Okay.
They are a couple, John and Barb, who sold their 5 pounds an acre farm because they were bored of getting, or didn't want to just keep on getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And they're world renowned in the world of farming. Like when they tell me all the talks they're going on this month, like, wow.
Mm.
But they gave that, not gave it up, but they decided that they were going to sell that, bought an 80-acre farm and built a distillery. They grow their own grains, they distill it themselves, and they sell it. So it's a complete experience of their farm in the Canadian prairies near Saskatchewan. And they are completely unique in they use a grain called triticale, which before talking to them, I hadn't heard of. And I'm not going to lie, the first couple of conversations, I thought they were lying.
Yeah.
You know, I was just joking. Yeah, right, mate, yeah. Yeah, triticale, that's not a grain. Yeah, yeah. But it's a mix between wheat and rye. Okay. And rye brings spicy notes to a whiskey. Wheat is more mellow. So the one we had at the beginning, the reason it can take so much from the cask is because it's a much more mellow flavour.
Okay.
And so you can bring more flavours on top of it. Whereas a single malt, it's got a bit more robustness.
Okay.
And so you're more joining the flavours into it. So with this, you've got a little bit of spicy, a little bit of mellow. The other thing they do is instead of aging or leaving their barrels in a warehouse, they put them out in a field. And it's Canada, so it goes down to minus 40
winter.
And in summer, it goes up to plus 40 in those casks. I've never heard of that before. That kind of range, I just don't know of. There's snow on the cask sometimes in the year. And then in the summer, you've got the sun beating down all the hours of the day. So it's a completely unique experience. Last year, I think they created 2,500 bottles.
Okay.
So they are tiny. And I got to chatting with them, and they are the nicest people ever. I was like, can I do something with you? And they're like, yeah. Can you import us to the UK? So I can, as long as I don't have to be like a full-on importer. And yeah. Oh, yeah, no, we don't have enough bottles to have a full-on importer. But if we can be part of your club, we'd love it.
Sweet.
Oh, win-win. And so we got them over early this year, got the bottles over this year, and I think that was our June club bottle. Okay. And so first taste of the distillery for everyone in the country, first taste of a triticale whiskey, and the first taste of a barrel aged outside in the fields. So that's another side of what we do. So we've had a unique but kind of traditional. We've had almost a mainstream, more traditional, and now we've got something you just can't have anywhere else in the world. And that's kind of an experience of the club. So the other thing to know is it's in fresh American oak, mm-hmm. Which is what you use for bourbon.
Oh, okay. All right.
So there should be a few elements of that in there as well. But
okay.
Have a taste and see.
This might be sacrilege, but bourbon, I know of one of the big whiskey companies, JD, is that a bourbon?
Yeah,
right?
That's where I see. Yeah. It's technically a Tennessee.
Tennessee, there you go.
Straight, because they put an extra process in where you have to filter through maple charcoal on top of bourbon just to make it's just a unique thing to them. But yeah, it's
okay.
Pretty much bourbon.
All right, cool. Right, let's have a. I'll leave you to describe the flavors of this because this is.
So I get cherry on this.
Mm hmm.
That's the fruit. So I'd say the first one was more like a raspberry,
mm-hmm.
Which had elements, but you didn't get as much of the raspberry in the single malt because from the port cask because there were other flavours it was blending in with. Now this is, you're getting, some people say there's a cherry is a Canadian style. Some people will say it's to do with the rye. I'll say I just like it.
All right.
I don't know, it's not licorice, but it's that kind of completely different style of flavours to the first two we've had.
Again, another really smooth one. And a reason I'm pleasantly surprised is we're in a room and these are all room temperature. There's no ice or anything like that. I'm really, this probably says a lot about what kind of whiskey I've been drinking. I've been used to drinking stuff where I'm like, afterwards, like breathing fire. But this is another really, really a really mellow flavour. Like you said, there might be some spice to it, and I was going to interpret that as like a real kick in the throat, but let me just.
And then once again, try a couple of drops of water on it.
See
where that goes. But the one thing you're finding is, same as I did, when I started my whiskey journey, it was JD and Coke as a teenager.
Yeah.
You know, with your mates. We've talked a little bit about it. I probably shouldn't share all of those stories.
Good times.
Yeah, they were. And I carried on in bourbon. I like rum.
Yeah,
that's where I was when I started this.
Yeah.
I'd had a few, you know, I had single malts, but a lot of them were 20-pound bottles, and a lot of them I didn't really enjoy. Mm. I remember the one that I first one I really enjoyed was Monkey Shoulder. It's not even an expensive bottle.
Yeah.
But it's just, it uses bourbon casks with scotch, and it was a nice gateway. But by doing this with the club, I straight away jumped from the £20 bottles into the 60, 70 or £50 bottles. And that jump, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it now. Yeah. This is nice. Why did no one give me these stuff earlier? Because if I'd have had this years ago, I would be here already. But like you, my first experience was like, well, that's fire. Like, why do you choose to drink that? That's horrible. Like, what part of you goes, I got to do it? It's like learning to smoke. I think we talked about this the other day. Like, why do I have to keep on doing this to at some point like it? And then I jump up to this lot and I so get it. I so get what you're talking about. And I admit these are more expensive than 50 quid, all of them, but they're not, because that's what our members pay.
Yeah.
50 quid bottles.
Yeah.
So does that change?
I'm getting a, you know what, Dan, my vocabulary is not as advanced as you're going to come tasting whiskey, but I'm getting more of a woody, I'm smelling the wood, which I presume would come from the cask that it's been in now. I'm smelling that a bit more, so it's more of an earthy flavour and smell. And taste-wise, that I'm getting that via the taste as well, so it's a bit more of an earthy flavour, a bit more of that spice in there as well, now that I put a couple of drops of water in there as well. Really changed the smell though, man. Like, really, the aroma has changed and the flavour as well. I think out of everything that I've tried today, those three drops I put in, literally just finger drops, that has really changed the flavour of this. That's probably been the largest difference in terms of flavour when it's had nothing in it compared to having a little splash of water in it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Just, I like it though.
Little things. Yeah. And that last bit, that's what matters. Vocabulary is rubbish. Like, when people say, what do you get? Like, I went to one taste and I think I get ashtray. It's not bad, but I don't feel like, feel like I've got the vocabulary still to do it. That, it just goes back to that original question. Do I like this?
Yeah.
Yes or no? And then sometimes it's, how much do I like this? Is this really good, or is this maybe another one?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And that's it. So you just tell me, do I like this one more or less? It's higher or lower, essentially.
Yeah. You know what? I'm building I think I've got an idea. Once we've, he says I'm up the fourth bottle. Once we've tried them all, I think I know what I like more of so far and for when and where. If you know what I mean, I feel like it's a when and where. But that was nice. That was a very pleasant experience. So that's my first time trying the
Triticale.
Triticale.
And I might be pronouncing that wrong. Do not worry about pronunciations, particularly Scotch brands. Yeah. You're not going to get it right. It's
Triticale,
fine.
Yeah. Very nice. Very nice. Thanks. All the way from Canada. Big up. What we got now? What are we wrapping up with?
This is another, this one, the Black Fox one, the single grain Triticale. That's something that exists. Mm-hmm. This is completely out of mine and a guy in Denmark's brain.
Right.
So this is going to be a smoky one, but there's a touch of peat, not much, mm-hmm. but it's more heather.
I can smell the smoke straight away. I can smell that smokiness.
But this is a smoky that you can't get anywhere in Scotland.
Okay.
And if you, a lot of people, they associate Scotch with this peaty, smoky whiskey.
Yeah.
And that is just a set of, historically, I think, six distilleries on Islay. There's a lot more on the mainland that weren't using peat.
Mm.
But that flavour, which comes from peat from there, is iodine, TCP, medicinal peat flavour, smoky flavour. That's completely geographic to the style of peat. You go to the mainland and you get peat, it brings different flavours to it. So what we've got here is a smoke profile that you have, that's a Danish, unique Danish smoke profile.
Okay, let's get into it then. I'm really tasting the peatiness of that. I'm tasting the smokiness of that. Again, another refined flavour as well, though. So obviously, like I said to you, I've been kind of expecting today this kind of another like kind of kick in the throat, which none of these are giving me. But the flavour, the smokiness, the peatiness, I'm getting them coming together. I'm getting those two flavours. And you said the heather in there as well, right?
Yeah, so the heather is probably the peatiness you're getting is actually the heather. And this whiskey is really interesting. Generally, scientifically, it's not proven, but from just anecdotal and my own experience, when you open a whiskey, the first taste is quite often different to the next few tastes. Like
I get that, yeah.
Like red wine.
Any drink.
Yeah.
Any drink. I always say the first sip of beer on a hot day.
Yes.
The best. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas with whiskey, sometimes it's not the first that's the best. It's a week later, two weeks later.
Yes.
This bottle changes almost every single time I drink it.
Wow. And you've just opened this now. This is the one of the ones you've just popped the lid off.
This one, I've been enjoying mine. So I didn't have an open bottle of it. I thought that I'll bring a fresh one.
Got this out of the vault.
So if you taste this in 2 weeks, you'll have a different experience. Like sometimes I get like bacon butty, like proper with ketchup, like proper sweet but smoky. And then the next time I just get smoke.
Mm.
And then the time after that, I get no smoke. I get the honey.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting where it goes. But I'd say, let's see, with this one, try with the ginger ale.
Just a little splash or just...
Well, I'll just try a little splash first.
Try a little splash first. There you go.
Because there's a thing with barbecues.
Mm.
Smoky flavours and sweet. That's a barbecue to me.
Yeah.
So as part of this, have it how you want. Smoky ones, if you're not too sure about it, like, it's all right, I'm not sure. Try putting a sweet fizzy drink. Like there's one called a Smoky Cokie. And this is, I thought I'd bring something slightly different with the ginger ale, but it's that sweetness to it. Actually, I'm going to have some too.
Yeah. The sweetness does work well with the smokiness, you know. I think barbecue is a good analogy. You have me thinking about hot wings and a nice barbecue, a bit of meat, but that sweetness, it kind of, for me personally, I lose a bit of the peatiness, the smokiness, and the sweetness kind of gets in with the smokiness, and I'm really tasting that there. That's quite nice. Let me just try a tiny. Yeah, I've only put a little splash in. Let me try a little splash.
Go more. Like you can go like almost like nine bits ginger ale to one bit whiskey. You find where your mix is.
I could drink that all night, you know.
That's
really nice. It's interesting how you the heather or peaty flavour, you lose a bit of that. For me personally, when you put a bit of the ginger ale in, but you still maintain the smokiness. So like you said, that barbecue flavour, I'm kind of experiencing there. That was, because I've said to Dan, and I'll say it to you guys, I'm not the biggest fan of peaty flavours, but I think my experience today would make me want to try more stuff. And I think that's what it's about with Somerton. Yeah. It's about trying and I think... If this is what you can bring to the table with just like three or four bottles, it helps me feel better about trying new things. Because I think as somebody who is, I've tried a lot of things when I was younger, but as I get older now, trying new things, I always feel like I'm at risk of looking like a fool or an idiot or whatever. But I feel like you've kind of welcomed me into the world of whiskey a little bit more. And I feel like this could be the start of something new. I'm going to just knock this back off.
Yeah, for me, that's the key thing about what we are. We're here to be, we're all on our whiskey journey.
Yeah.
Some people decide that their whiskey journey involves not having any whiskey.
Yeah.
But if you're going on a whiskey journey, we're here to support you. We're not here to, I've got a mate. He just enjoys people in pain. It's just it. Like growing up, I'm done for tonight. Like, have a quadruple brandy.
Yeah.
No, I'm done. And that's not supportive. You don't learn in that thing. You just get scared of stuff.
Yeah.
We're here to help. I want to show you stuff, but I also, because I taste it all in advance, I'm trying to do to make sure, one, it meets a grade, but also it's something that's approachable. There's going to be something you don't like.
Yeah.
The whole reason why I want to make sure that all the bottles cost more if you bought them yourself is so you get at least one free bottle a year, essentially. So if you don't like it, you haven't lost out.
Yeah.
And I guarantee if you've got a whiskey mate, they'll generally like it and they'll go, oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So you're still showing off because, come on, it's always nice to go, mate, have you seen this? What, you never had this? You don't even know what it is? Well, let me tell you a little bit about it. Even if it's not your thing, it will be theirs.
Yeah, yeah.
And the same thing you were talking about, the events. What I'm trying to do is just help people in a soft way go further. So we've got some online events. You can sit in your own house. You don't have to communicate. You decide if you want to be in the chat or if you don't, and you just experience it yourself. Next year, you're going to come along. I'm telling you already, we've got festival in St. Albans.
Sweet.
Where just you come and just taste. Don't taste them all. There's too many to taste, but there'll be at least 10, 15 brands there. Taste a couple from each and just go, I like that. Not so sure about that.
Yeah.
And that's what this is all about. It's just a helping hand. Mm. You find what you like, what you don't like.
Yeah.
And then you go yourself further.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And look, I'm going to tell you which one I like the best today and kind of where I want to go with my whiskey. But once again, if you guys want to get involved in the Christmas special, which we can say is in a port cask and is great value for money because retails are almost 80 quid, depending on where you get it. But you can get it for 50 quid via Somerton Club. All you got to do is head to somertonclub.com/hour and make sure you put in the... I've had a few whiskeys now, Dan. Yeah. Make sure you put in the offer code HOUR at checkout, and I believe you're going to be offering a wee dram.
Yeah, that's
as well.
All your listeners, you want to get a little bit extra, use that code HOUR or somertonclub.com/hour, and you'll get an extra little taster of something else.
There you go.
Just to help you on your journey as well. Nice, so you haven't just got an amazing bottle, you've also got a little bit extra for a lot less.
There you go.
You know when he was saying about growing up and having certain whiskies like JD and Coke and all that kind of thing and then tasting like shit, with all due respect to Jack Daniels, and then discovering the ones that like actual game changers. Mm-hmm. At my big age, I feel like I'm only just sort of discovering that a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about any of the speed rail, that's what they call anything that's just close to the bottom of the bar, vodka, whiskey, brandy, tequila,
someone's
and that stuff.
In a bar.
Yeah, I've worked the bar.
Yeah,
man, like, those are not real drinks, bruv.
Nah.
They're drinks by definition.
Yeah.
As in, have they got alcohol content?
Yeah.
Yeah, but are they anything near it? Yeah, absolutely no, man. Like you said, like, with all due respect, certain beverages deserve to roll with Coca-Cola, where these is optional. And I was learning stuff like sherry cask, port cask, and stuff like that. And I'm getting into it, man. It's quite nice.
Okay, well, I'm absolutely clueless about all of that. I'm just like, yeah, it tastes really nice, or nah, it tastes like death, or whatever. So take me under your quite sizable wings, your arm implants, your bicep implants,
Christ.
And take me on this journey with you.
I will. I will take you on the journey with me, but I haven't got arm implants, I should say. Once again, somertonclub.com/hour. But which leads us on to the next thing that I did. We did together. We killed some time. We went and got to see a good friend of ours, Kay Curd, sellout show at the Eventim Apollo in London. Bruv.
Oh, man. Like, there were so many different levels to how good the whole evening was, and good is underplaying it hugely.
Yeah.
But one of my favourite things about it was I have never seen an audience so diverse, all laughing at the same thing, which just goes to show how universally appreciated he A is, B can be, and C should be even more so in the future.
Yeah, man. And I don't think that Richie's just throwing that word around, because we all said on the night it's that a word that's been so rinsed, diverse, isn't it? It's like you could not.
It nearly bores me.
Yeah, but you looked into the audience and you just saw such a difference, like row or seat by seat. We're like, wow, this guy's comedy connects, like you said, with everyone.
Yeah.
And obviously, fantastic warm-ups. You know, Laura Smith came out, kicked ass. Ishan Akbar came out, fucking funny as fuck. In their own different ways as well. And then obviously Kay came and kicked the doors off as well.
Yeah.
Had a big boy announcement as well. You know, whoever done that was a...
What? I just saw a pair of arms walking around stage. I didn't see a human.
What did Laura Smith say? She said something, and the girls said something. And she said something to the audience. By the way, sorry, a bit of background. I wore a t-shirt that had been in the hot wash, right? So it was a little bit tighter around my arms.
Yeah,
it may have been an extra medium beforehand.
Yeah, and there
were a lot of comments about it. You lot made me feel really insecure, man. I just felt very aware that my arms were...
Honestly, put it like that, that t-shirt would have drowned me. I am a 6'3" gentleman. That t-shirt would have literally drowned me. And it put it on you and it looked like it should fit a 14-year-old.
Bruv, it was very tight.
Just take it as a, take everything we were saying as a compliment.
Thank you very much.
And Laura Smith, when she came out, she was like, how about that Marcus Bronzy? Ow!
Is it?
The arms on him, et cetera, et cetera.
Wow. I mean, all right, cool. Cheers, Laura. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I guess be careful not to make your arms like your personality trait. Arms first.
Arm Chris Bronzy. Yeah.
Chris Bronzy.
But yeah, man. No, it was great. It was good warming up the crowd. I got to have a little bit of a chat vibes a little bit with the people that were sitting down. There was one lady in the audience who was flipping, going for God. You see her standing up. She was shaking everything around. Yep. Man, flipping. I think she knocked someone's drink over behind her, allegedly. Yeah, someone said that. But yeah, what an audience, man. And just like, you know, congratulations to Kay Curd for selling out. One of the, you know what I like
iconic.
About the Eventim Apollo? Iconic,
oh.
Intimate, but enormous at the same time. And I don't think you get that level of intimacy when you go bigger. Because you go bigger than that, it's your arena, innit? Yeah. That's what it is like. And I think it was just a great show for the people that Kay could draw. And it was quite, you know, sister podcast, Ain't Got a Clue. Quite a lot of the Ain't Got a Clue crew were around as well, which was quite nice as well. Knocking around, so it was good to see them all. And Kay just nailed it, man. I mean, what was it like for you? Because you were, obviously, I was running about when the show was on. You joined us. You were chilling backstage with us. You were vibing.
Yeah.
You very politely didn't even partake in the food that we had catering. Yeah. And this is how Richie's a nice guy, yeah? Like, catering. And bro, you were expected to eat. Richie was like, no. I'm gonna eat my own food because I'm not gonna take you, bro. That is such a testament to your niceness.
No, it's not. Genuinely, because I was literally a spare wheel there. Like you invited me along, which I appreciate, and it was like, look, if you could just take some photos, yeah, of course I will, Yeah. I'm not gonna fucking take away other people's foods that actually working. I was the only person there who wasn't doing a goddamn thing. So why would I think that I could take food that other people have paid for and it's for the people actually doing work?
Yeah. I would add a chicken wing if I were you.
I mean, I really wanted to.
Yeah, the chicken wings were good.
Oh my days. Yeah. They looked incredible.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it was nice. It was nice. But yeah, no, it was really good, man. And it was like a nice audience were there as well. And it was just like, I wasn't even doing much, bruv. I was just doing a little bit of hosting, introducing whatever. I was knackered at the end of the night. So Kay must have just been like, you know, I've actually not had a proper talk with him because he's gone away, actually. So we're yet to record anything. We planned to have some time. So he's chilled a bit. But it'd be nice to know what his how he felt, because he must have been physically
emotional,
troops.
I bet. Especially when you brought his folks on at the end of the gig as well. That was fucking beautiful.
I was just,
beautiful.
I turned to his mum and I was like, you must be so proud. She's like, yes. And I was like,
stop.
I was like,
I walked past him. He'll probably hate me for saying this, but I walked past him and I think he'd just been sent a photo from someone of his mum outside with his name in the background and it said sold out.
Yeah.
And I could tell he was having a little moment and I was like, mate, you should be so fucking proud of yourself.
Yeah,
and then I just left him to it because I was like, you take this in before you go out, breathe it in.
Yeah, man.
And yeah, I could tell how much it meant to him as well.
I couldn't have been so calm as he was. He was quite calm as well, wasn't he? Like leading up to it too. Like I felt like I would be shitting it openly, but he was quite, like, you could tell he was thinking about it. Yeah, man.
Word to Craig David,
man. I think Craig's a mate of ours. We should have invited Craig down, actually. I think he follows me and Kay.
It's a great name drop, that is.
I'll pick that back up off the floor. Before I keep banging on about what I've been up to, what have you been up to, Richie? How have you been killing some time?
Oh, man, what on earth have I been doing? Apart from that show with you, I've been a little bit of gaming, writing, as per usual. I haven't got anything as exciting as what you previewed to me very, very sneakily off mic about, you know, just doing your bit for the community. That's for sure.
Mm.
Which is, I mean, speechless, and I don't even know the full story.
I may have saved someone's life, bro. Is that it? You done? Is that how you've been? That's it, right? I've got some stuff I can give you. You can kill time with. We can right. Catch up with that at another time. But I may have saved someone's life. I may have saved someone's life.
How can you just sit there so calmly and say I may have saved someone's life? Because this is the thing, right? Is that I've been in a fortunate position without ever wanting to like stage you of like receiving a message online. When I worked at joe.co.uk, we received messages online saying, thank you so much for this video.
Yeah.
I feel like it saved my life. When talking about mental health and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. And I would never downplay that. It's a thing of beauty. But this story that you've got in the locker sounds like you're underplaying it for something that should be like screamed from the rooftops.
I'm hamming it up, but fuck it. Okay. I'm actually hamming it up for you. But like...
Oh.
So we've got canals near the studio, and I was after a jog. I was on my way to the studios, the Hartley Canal Studios, and I saw a lady chugging along in her boat. And basically, I don't know if you've ever been on a narrow boat or whatever. So you kind of, how you park it up is you cruise up to the side of the canal, turn a few engines, hop off, and tie your boat up before it floats away.
Okay.
Wet day, and it was like this slippery kind of. You know how the curb is a bit more slippery than the pavement?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So there's like an extended curb on this bit of the canal.
I've been on the receiving end of that.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Really?
What, slipping over a curb?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough. As long as you'd have to wrap your teeth around it. But so she's like about 3 foot away from the edge and she's gearing up like she's going to jump.
No.
I'm like thinking, fucking don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. In slow-mo, she like takes half a step back and like jumps. And I'm watching her like move from the side, edge of her boat towards the edge of the canal. And I'm like,
paint a picture of what she looked like for us.
She was about 5 foot five. she was wearing shoes without appropriate grip on them.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
That'll feed into it.
Did she look like a character from Cliffhanger who should be leaping about, or are they no, got no business doing
it
that?
It stopped at her cargo pants, bro.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. She was wearing like a t-shirt and a jumper and had her hair tied back and respectfully looked like someone who'd been having a bad morning anyway.
Fine.
Yeah.
Fine.
She didn't look very happy.
Fine.
She was like, fucking, let's just do it. That's how it was like, fuck it. And I saw her jumping and like halfway through the jump, I saw her realize that she was going to make it, but she didn't realize how slippery the floor was. So she slipped and like skidded along the floor and the rope dropped in the water from her boat. And then she got up and I'm like about 20 foot away when this happened. I start walking towards her. I'm like 15 foot away and I'm like, don't do it. She goes, no. She looks at the boat. She fucking takes a run up to run towards the boat. And I'm thinking, no.
Not again. Didn't you just learn from the mistake you just did?
But no one's on her boat and it's trundling along the fucking center of the canal. So she runs back, jumps towards it, and then like 1 foot hits the edge of the boat, slips, and she just body slams the boat and then drops right into the water. Like head goes under, everything comes up again. And I just like run over to her, put my hand out and be like, come with me if you want to live.
There it is. There's the line. There it is.
Pulled her out of the water and she was just there like looking at me like, what am I going to do? And I was like, look, for starters, is your boat in gear? She's like, no. So I said, it's just going to slow down. It's going to bump into someone else's boat. You'll be fine. A couple of fucking bystanders walked along and were like, what's going on here? And I was like, oh, I just lost the boat. And they were like, oh, fuck, that's a bit of a bad one, isn't it? I'm like, you're not helping the situation.
Bummer.
Yeah.
Cheers.
I shouted over at some other boats on the other side of the canal that were parked up. But because they were these boats though, where it's just people that have houses, they're not really boaters.
Right.
I was like, does anyone have any rope or hook? Does anyone have anything that can help us kind of like, maybe a little tiny little rowboat we can do to get? They never had anything because they weren't boaters. They just have fancy houses that float on the side of the water. Finally found someone to help her out. And then I asked her like, what's going on here? Like, your boat looks a bit like you're not really living in it. She's like, no, I'm building a house. It's my house that I want to build. And she was scared that she almost abandoned her house and lost it and crashed it into something else. But yeah, saved her life.
Yeah, no,
she might not have died. I'll be honest, she might not have died.
Yeah, but you stopped ever having to test the water, for want of a better phrase, to find out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you jumped into that two-footed, man.
Yeah,
you dived right into that one.
Yeah, like, so you will never have to know whether or not you actually saved her life because you stopped her from ever being in danger of losing her life. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay.
Can I
call myself a hero now?
Yeah, I think you can. Apparently, like, Chad Kroger's looking for you to redo the music video to the Spider-Man soundtrack.
Sweet.
If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. Let's do it, bruv. Let's do it. And I'm also open for all bookings if they want to do a Bodyguard remake or something like that, bruv. I'm ready to do that, bruv. I'm ready to go for it, bruv. Anytime. So, yeah, I saved a life. And I saw 50 Cent. So at the moment of this recording, I have seen 50.
Yeah.
You're about to see 50.
I'm about to see him at Wembley Arena.
What do you want me to furnish you with, or what do you want me to not? What do you want me to?
So this is the thing, is that I saw him, I've seen him before,
yeah,
and I saw him with G Unit and Fabolous supported him.
Yeah.
And I love Fabolous. I think he's very underrated and he warmed up. And the fact that Fabolous warmed up and then 50 Cent came out with Tony Ayo and with Lloyd Banks, who for me is the best
lyricist,
member
in
G Unit. I said what I
lyrically,
said.
Yeah,
lyrically,
yeah, yeah.
Undoubtedly.
Punchline master.
Oh man, like incredible. I don't know how this can possibly top that. But then I've seen footage of certain guests coming out who sick, but Lloyd Banks to me is, I rate him so highly, and he's not going to be there.
He's not there.
No.
Because they're not cool. Especially after 50 wrote about him in his autobiography, called him Lazy Lloyd and all that kind of stuff. Like, yeah, they're not cool. Yayo was there.
Did he perform?
Do you want me to tell you or not? I don't know.
I don't know.
Do you want me to tell you?
I mean, he's got all of what, 3 songs, Tony Yayo?
I mean, we all know So Seductive, his big tune, is a 50 Cent tune. Featuring Yayo, even though it's a Yayo song, I was like, "Rah, 50's on this more than you, brother." Does the chorus, does half a verse for each verse?
Yeah.
So Yayo was there. Did you know who he brought out? Did you see on socials who he brought out? Who 50 brought out? He brought out.
Has he written our national anthem?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. He brought him out.
Yeah.
That was vibes. But 50 Cent is 48 years old, bro. He's almost 50, and he's not moving like the 50. Of prior years, and I respect that, but don't expect the same dip, because I saw him in 2009, I think he was moving differently, like he was running around the stage, dancing around.
Yeah,
he's a little bit more reserved, and he's been on tour for 5 months.
Did you see when Dr. Dre did the Super Bowl halftime show, one of the greatest gigs of all time?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And did you see the memes of 50 Cent afterwards?
They rinsed him, bro. Oh, man. For him looking like out of shape, upside down.
Not proof from D12. Bizarre from D12. Yeah. Looking like Bizarre from D12.
He's in good shape.
Right.
But he's not.
But he's 48 years old.
48 years old. Buster looks all right. Buster looks a bit better as
Who?
Well. Buster.
What?
Buster warms up.
Buster's, oh, my.
You know Buster's
day.
A warm up?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, yeah, cool, cool. Yeah, yeah. Buster does his thing.
Jeremiah's a weird addition. Like, have they made music?
They've got that down on me, down on me.
Oh, yeah.
They did that. That, well, that actually nailed it, you know. That was a nice little break, actually. Yeah. He brought out another US artist that he's done a collab with, R&B singer.
If it's not The Game, then I don't care.
Well, he did do Hate It or Love It.
No!
He did Hate It or Love It.
My tune.
He did it.
That
smacked
song.
It. Well, obviously, that's not a big surprise.
Okay, go on. Who was the R&B artist?
Neo.
Neo!
Yeah.
I was going to guess Neo. Yeah.
But Jeremiah did some... If Jeremiah's doing it again, I think he's official. I think he will be there.
Yeah.
His bit with a piano and a dancer is a little bit... I mean, I'm saying he could definitely taste what she's had for lunch. Definitely, bruv.
Right, okay. And that's an evening thing. So to taste what she had for lunch...
Yeah, man.
Hours after she's eaten it.
Yeah,
okay.
Man. If she had dairy for lunch, she'd know about it, bruv, at the end of that performance. But we had decent seats. And you know what? He's older now, but I'm older now. So I didn't need him to run around the stage. It was nice hearing the big hits. Like, obviously, I think the only thing that could bring that top that is if I was to see the whole of G-Unit together. Maybe we'll see it, because this is the last lap.
Yeah, one of them.
But what about when he's 50? Surely he's got to do, I'm 50 years old and I'm 50 Cent and doing whatever. And he's just sold a million tickets for this.
Right.
Worldwide. So why is he not going to do more?
Yeah.
But I think you'll like it.
But you know what? I've not actually heard 50 Cent feature on a song. The last time I can think of that I heard 50 Cent featuring on any new music from him was probably like when I was at uni.
Yeah.
And it was like that Before My Self-Destruct album with Baby By Me with Neo Get Up. That was a big tune, Get Up.
Yeah.
Oh, he's on Nas's newest album and he like spends half the chorus
talking,
laughing.
Yeah,
talking.
Yeah. Does a little verse there. Yeah, it's. I think he's done his best music.
Yeah.
Like, respectfully.
Yeah, fair play.
He does do the power theme though.
Does
that. That bodied it as well.
Nice.
But yeah, no, it was a good concert and I liked it. And I think for me, I always wanted to see 50 again anyway, so I was happy. But you're not seeing a 20-year-old 50 or 28-year-old 50 running around. That was 20 years ago, bro.
Sure.
You get me?
Fine with
but,
me.
But I think I'll be interested to hear how you get on with it. Are you going with some mates?
Going with a couple of mates who, like, we came up. I was going to sound like such a prick then. I was going to say, we came up together listening to 50 Cent. But yeah, you know, man, what I mean? Like,
when on these streets.
When Get Rich or Die Trying came out when we were, like, 14. Yeah. We used to just rinse and repeat and rinse and repeat.
Heavy, bruv. Yeah. Heavy, heavy album. Yeah, man. So that's what I did. What else have I been killing time with? What else have we got here? I told you I saved someone's life.
I mean, couldn't you call saving someone's life killing time? Like, God, I've got nothing better to do. I might as well. I'll make a good story for the pod.
I did. First thing I thought was, fucking great, make a note of this. Make this a good little story for the pod.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, you know, I feel like I don't want to do it as a full-time job. It doesn't pay
saving
very
lives.
Well. Yeah, it doesn't pay very well. You just get paid in
ego?
Like, grace and ego.
That too,
you know
as well.
I mean? You know me, I've not got a very big ego anyway. I'll tell you what, right, Rich, you can choose. I've got something you could drink or something you can open. I've got like it's a gift for you, and you can try, you can have a go on them, but we can talk about them in another episode in the future. I've got something you can drink, which you can see on the table.
I can, and I'm very intrigued by these boxes on the desk that we can drink.
So last time we spoke, you told me you were a cognac drinker, right? And I happen to have got my hands on a Greek spirit, which is not called a brandy or a cognac, shall we say, but it's called Metaxa. It's a Greek spirit. But I have been assured that it is something that we will like. And I've been more than assured because I realised when I saw the bottles, it's something that I tried last year when I was in Greece.
Okay.
And I was at a wedding and it, I think I had one of the bottles we got here. So we got a Metaxa Greek spirit. 7 stars, which I think is a star for every year, I believe.
Right, not quality. It's not like a 5-star quality thing.
I think it says it's in a case for aging for 7 years before marrying it with a Muscat wine and infused of Mediterranean herbs and rose petals for 12 months. There you go.
Fair play. I'm not going to lie, I am a little bit scared because anything that's like Greek spirit, I just think of Ouzo and Sambuca, and those are just projectile vomit
inducing.
These guys do make a ouzo.
Demons, no.
But what do these taste like? I don't know. And we have got some ice as well if you want. I mean, or do you just want to go for it raw?
Yeah, let's go for it raw. It's a weird sentence. I'm pretty sure there's plenty of other ways you could have said that.
Yeah, a little splash there.
Thank you. This is a really bad time to need a piss, isn't it?
Yeah, man. Do you need a pee?
Really do.
You can.
Is that all right?
Yeah, go for it, man. Excitement of the Metaxa, got you going.
I wanted to do it the respect that it's due by emptying myself of liquid just to accommodate just this.
Have you got much else to do today? No. Did you need to make that much room for it?
Apparently.
Right, so 7 years. So right, okay. Forever associated with being on holiday, Metaxa is known as a brandy, yeah, okay? But it's actually a Greek spirit drink, yeah? And I think that is to do with, in France, you know how you can only call a champagne?
Yeah.
You can only call you can't call it, like, that's why Prosecco is Prosecco, because it's not champagne, because it's not made in the region of Champagne. I feel like this is a similar thing. And I think the numbers that are on the bottle, because I've read this in a few places, that it's the numbers like, the stars, the number of stars is equivalent to the number of years that it has been, you know, aging for. So this has been aging for 7 years. So I wouldn't say it's the most aged kind of cognac you would have had.
Yeah.
But give it a little pull. See what you're saying?
Cheers.
Straight out of the bottle. What do you think of the smell? Smell brandy like?
Yeah. I'm a little bit trepidatious around this because of those bad memories of Greek spirit.
There's a 5-star one year of it. Oh, wow. You put it all away. Okay.
I am.
You liking it?
Did you hear my tummy just then?
Yeah.
My tummy was like, rah, give it
give
to
me. Give
me
some more. You like it?
Yeah, I do.
I'll give you a little more of a special.
Oh, really. Man, it's very, very nice.
Yeah, it's a sipper. So they say like it's something that you can have. And there's a 5-year, which I probably wouldn't go near because for me, long story short, I'm not a G, but like, I'm not an expert, but a longer time in the barrel just gives it a bit more of a refined taste. If it's something that's a bit newer, it's a bit like firewater. But you like that, yeah?
Yeah, I do. Cheers.
And I'll tell you a quick story before we get to the next one. I just remember something about the 50 Cent concert. True story. We came in and there was one of our friends bought a ticket last minute, mm-hmm. wanted to stand with us, but his ticket was nowhere near us. But I was like, there's 4 of us standing together. Surely we can just squeeze him in when we're standing up. Came in, saw 2 guys to our right. And they were like, we just had a little bit of a chat with them. And I thought that they were both like 2 single guys. A really pretty girl walked past, let's just say Bundesliga situation.
Sure.
They were like, they looked like that. I looked at them.
Bundesliga.
They looked at me and I was just like, I was like, look, we're gentlemen. Some things are better left unsaid. And they just started cracking up and they were like, oh, what's going on? Da-da-da-da-da. And we had a nice rapport from there. They were really excited for the show. And then one of them lost their phone and he couldn't find it anywhere. And I'll tell you the next part of the story after we sip a little bit more of this. But yeah, like, so anyway, like, thoughts on this then?
That's a hell of a cliffhanger. And such a random one as well.
Yeah, random one, isn't it? Yeah, we'll get to it.
What the hell? We'll get
to it. So you like this then, long story short?
I do, long story short. I mean, listen, if you're trying to get out of me that it tastes a little bit of cherry and there are notes of chocolate, I can't. It just tastes really nice. Yeah. Like, if I was going to say, genuinely, if people listening wanted the closest thing that I can guess, I'd go with, like, caramel.
Yeah.
It's probably the most obvious thing to say ever.
But... yeah, man. And you're a Remy guy as well, isn't it? Found out on the back of the bottle, Remy owned Metaxa. So, you know, there's a little bit of a quality seal there as well. Speaking of quality, I mean, look, let's just step this up another level, mate. I got you another glass. If you want to use it, this is the 7-year. I put it away, but there's a... I'm going to grab that bottle over there.
Oh, my days. There's more stars on this than I can count.
12.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I was just saying. Wow, 12.
Well, more stars than I can count. 12. Yeah. 12. Bottom out about 11. But yeah.
This is...
there you go.
Some very fancy packaging. Ooh. Hey, listen. You know, if it's a square bottle, it bangs.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the rule. I think I just made that up. But still, that is beautiful.
There you go, Metaxa 12 year. So I've got a little bit, as you're pouring it up, I'll tell you a little bit about it. So yeah, considered to be the pinnacle of the Metaxa product range. It's not really, because they actually have some better ones now, so that bit of writing is a little bit out of date. They've actually got some like slightly fancier ones that have been a little bit more refined. Basically, it has been aged for a minimum of 12 years in oak casks as well. So where the 5-star is supposed to be a bit more lighter and delicate, this has more depth and complexity with floral notes, a richness of coffee and dark chocolate and orange oils. Again,
Sure.
I'm with the yak. I'm like, do I like it or do I not? Yeah. Do you know what? This is more. This is closer to Remy. Not this, but the one I just tried. It does feel like it's closer out of all the brandies to Remy because I feel like Remy's a sweeter brandy.
Yeah.
I have to put it back in the box, mate. We can have a bit more if you want.
Oh, sure.
What do you think? What do you think of this then? Like,
well, in theory, it's nearly twice the aging process of the other one, so it should be nearly twice as good.
Twice as good, yeah. It's a bit smoother, isn't it?
Oh, for me, anyway, it
goes down a bit easier.
Definitely. Oh, that's fucking dangerous. Right, should we just cut here and just crack on?
It's chilly for it. Oh, man.
That is... I mean, the original, the 7-year was good, but that... It's like drinking syrup.
You like that, yeah? That's it. we were just like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Out of context. Yeah. You like that, do you?
I think that's going to have to come onto the drunk cast that we do at Christmas, isn't it? Yes, it is. But yeah, there you go. Look,
all worries have been placed firmly in the bin by the fact that it's a Greek spirit.
It's not brandy. Yeah, it's not ouzo.
Nope.
It's not grappa.
Nope. It's not Sambuca.
It's not Sambuca. So you're on that. They've done their job.
They really have.
This is why Remy Contro bought into them, I guess.
Big time.
So yeah, so that means you now like a drink that isn't brandy, but it's definitely had the same.
Or bourbon.
Or bourbon. Yeah, man. It's been a quite... Listen, booze-wise, I feel like people have learned a lot in this podcast.
Fair play. Yeah, and also, I'm not going to lie, looking at it in the supermarket, nothing to do with the design of the box or anything, but I think combining... like Remy or brandy with Greece just doesn't, that's not it for me. I would not be partaking that. It'd be like going and buying a Honduran pizza.
It's like chips from the Chinese.
Yeah, it is. Although if you're Northern, you're probably listening to this and say, I fucking buy chips from the Chinese all the time, but in a Northern accent.
Yeah. With curry sauce.
Chip
balm.
Yep. Exactly that.
I think it's probably will work to their favour to not call it a brandy. But when I was in Greece at a wedding where I proceed, bruv, it is, mate. I'm still waiting for that hangover to hit me. And I think when it will, I'll just be walking down the street and I'll just be like, like a sniper will hit me. And I'll just be like, just fall over on my face. Ah, yeah. But really good times. And so it does go down quite well. And we're having this... we've got ice here if you wanted, but we've
don't
just
need
had
it.
That...
Don't need
shout
it.
Yeah, man. All right, cool. Well, shout out to Metaxa, man. Big up yourselves. We'll put a link to that in the show description if you want to check that out. Again, not paid for any of that. So, check that out. So, the other half of the 50 Cent story, right?
Please.
Take a little sip of this. Metaxa.
What were you going to call it?
Yak. Doesn't matter. Yeah. So, the two guys sitting next to us...
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's a short guy. He's about 5'10", 5'11", right? Shorter guy, yeah. And he is big smiley face.
The way you're describing all of this is like a David Fincher like film where there's going to be some sort of big plot twist, and I'm trying to guess on what it is. And I can't.
You're giving me way too much credit, but
okay.
You won't see this coming. It's funny.
Right.
So then there was a taller guy, a slimmer guy, who I'm going to call him Tall Man.
Sure.
For the purposes of this. So Tall Man's there. He's a bit further away from me, but he's smiling at me. He's got good vibes. But Smiley is next to me, right? So we're chilling. I notice they're drinking doubles.
Yeah.
Doubles of yak. And I'm thinking, yo, you guys need to slow down a bit. Yeah, they're getting well into it. So Busta Rhymes is on and they're fucking going mental, yeah. The thing with the girls that gets up, they get up and walk past and come back. That right. happens, and we're like, you know.
Yep.
Bro, like respectfully, he's like, wow.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, we're gentlemen, keep it pushing.
Yeah, yeah.
The girls come back. He's lost his phone, remember, right? So he's all like, he's stressing, you can see. And then Smiley turns around to me and goes, all right, he's found his phone. Oh, go wicked, sweet. That one of the girls had found it on the floor. It dropped out of his pocket. So he offered one of the girls a drink. Tawley offered the girl that's next to him a drink.
And it was Tawley who lost the phone.
Tawley lost the phone. Tawley offered the girl Bundesliga a drink, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
She accepted the drink, fine. So then Smiley turns around to me and goes, fucking hell, man. I go, what? He goes, it's all happening now. I go, what's all happening? What's up? He goes, look at the girl who he's just bought a drink's leg. And I'm going, all right. Her leg was like up against his. And I was like, oh, it's, you know, it's, we're at an arena, innit? The seats aren't that big. We're all quite tall people. The lady's quite tall as well. And I was like, no, her leg is definitely leaning over to him. And she had her phone in her hand and was kind of holding it kind of in a way where it's like, almost as if he's like supposed to say, yeah, let me put my number in that phone.
Yeah. Let me put that phone's good use.
Yeah. But I look at Tawley and Tawley looks really stressed. I said to Smiley, I said, what's going on? He goes, oh man, you know, look at Tawley's hand. Look at Tawley's hands. He's married. So I'm like, okay, of course. He's married. He's in a compromising situation.
Yep.
He doesn't want this stress.
Yep.
He'd rather it end. Maybe he doesn't want to tell said person to stop doing what they're doing in case they're like, how dare you think I'm rubbing up on you? It's just an arena, you fucking creep.
Yeah.
So he's there stressed. I go, well, I think it's not that big a fucking deal, mate. Chill. Smiley goes, it is, because he's sitting next to his fucking brother-in-law. Smiley was the brother-in-law. So think about it. I'm sitting next to a brother-in-law, and then next to him is it. But Smiley's getting fucking hammered, bro. Like getting bus up. Like he's getting wasted. Yeah.
Fucking hell.
So as they get drunker, they start getting looser. And I'm like, look, Smiley, can I tell my friends this? Because this is funny. All my friends are to my level. You're like, yeah. Mate. He goes, cool, sweet, man. You're cool, whatever. Da, 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 da. And we're doing the whole, when we're standing up, bringing in another friend. So it's really intimate between us. Smiley starts getting drunker and goes, let me take a sip of the yak. Talk about this.
shout out to Tawley and Smiley, that's for sure.
Tawley and Smiley, man. Tawley and Smiley are there, yeah. And then Smiley starts turning to me and going, yo, bro, I'm getting kind of wavy now, you know, and I'm thinking mad thoughts. I'm like, what? He goes, I kind of don't blame him. And I said, he's not done anything. He goes, I mean, I kind of wouldn't blame him if he was to do something risky, you know. Half of me would be upset, but half of me would understand. And I was like, you know what? You know, you've got your cognitive dissonance down. You know, you can be, your mind can be in two places at once. He's like, cognitive what? I'm like, you've had too many cog yaks.
Yeah, so nailed it.
Continue it, carry on. So that's carrying on. It starts to elevate a bit more. Like, Smiley gets even more drunker. And as Smiley's talking to me, I notice that Tawley's talking to the other girl a little bit more as well. And I think, am I accidentally wingmanning?
Oh, definitely. I was just about to say.
But then
you weren't there.
Yeah.
That chat would have been done. It would have been, thank you so much for finding my phone. I really appreciate you. Have your drink. He's a gentleman, clearly. Yeah. He's like thanking her. Yeah. Leave it at that. But you're there. You're wingmanning.
Do I grass him up? Is what I'm saying. Do I say, hey, look over your shoulder. Look at your brother-in-law. Or do I, because it could be innocent.
You know these people.
Right. So I just thought, chat, keep it pushing. Buster goes off. 50 comes on and fucking smacks it. You know, what up, blood? What up, cuz?
Yeah, what up, cuz?
What up, gangster? Yeah, all that stuff's happening. Vibes. But there's moments in the show where
has
50 kind of...
Has done a trick on us?
Yeah, it has.
Yeah.
14 stars. Yeah. But the stars add up, basically. So you've had to... had the,
is that what it is? 14 is 12 plus 7?
Yeah, 21 years.
Yeah.
That is, yeah?
Yeah, it is.
It's beyond your numbers. Remember, you can only count to 12. Yeah. But so 50 kind of nips out to do a costume change here and there, and like 20 women will come out and dance at the same time. I didn't tell you about that before, but there's lots of booty shaking here. So that's happening.
Shock. The guy who wrote P.I.M.P.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Oh, that song bodied it, bruv. Smashed it. And I was praying for Snoop. Didn't get Snoop. The thing is, you might get a different guest. Yeah. But anyway, Smiley turns around to me. And I could not see this coming. Smiley goes, fucking hell, man. I'm not angry with him anymore. I kind of understand where he's coming from. In fact, you know what?
No. No way.
She has a massive ass. And my sister's got no ass at all. Oh, and I was like, what?
What?
Smiley, why'd you say that to me for? That's your own sister, bro. That's your sister.
Fucking hell.
So Smiley.
This guy is no shame.
Like, so Smiley's what? Like, I'm there, like, my mind's doing backflips because I'm like, you've analysed your sister's bottom. Yeah. I don't know if that's something that is acceptable, but we'll keep it moving because you have half of France in your belly right now, yeah? And your friend is half of France. As he says that, I'm laughing. I'm like, can I tell my friends? Tell my friends. 50 comes back out and let's just, I don't know, pick a big 50 tune that you like.
If I can't.
If I can't on you, if I can't do it, we're vibes. And then I'm looking at Tawley. Tawley's got his arms around smiling. He's vibes with him.
He's hiding that ring then.
Yeah.
Like, but arms then tucked under his armpits.
But then I looked carefully at him. Smiley's holding up Tawley because he's so fucked. Because I realised he's been slamming the brandies so hard, yeah. And we're like halfway into the concert, yeah. So the tunes are banging, yeah. Tawley's just sitting down. Absolutely fucking wasted, yeah. The girl who's been trying to move him up, not interested anymore because she's next to a wreck, yeah. He's like, his head's bopping around, like he's trying his best to fight for his drunkenness, like, yeah, so he's giving him like a little fit. Like,
you know,
yeah.
It's bad when you're sat there and you're fighting, you're like,
yeah,
when you know you're shit faced,
yeah.
That's when you have that self-awareness, oh, fuck,
it's horrible,
I am
isn't
drunk,
it?
I need to sort it out. That's when you know it's bad.
Your internal dialogue's going,
I
shouldn't have had those last 17 drinks. I need to sober up right now.
Yeah,
I need
bring it back, bring it back.
Yeah. So, so then that happened. He got absolutely wasted. He stumbled out like two-thirds into the concert, to the toilet for a bit, stumbled back again a bit better. We all think he probably had a little clear out in it.
Of what?
He probably went.
Oh, okay.
I reckon two fingers down his throat. Right. I don't know. Or maybe he didn't need any help. You think he vomited?
Tawley or Smalley?
Tawley tried to walk out. If we weren't cool with him, he could have like caused trouble because he was falling over and looking at us all weird. And we're like, bruv, it's us. Goes, oh, sorry. He was like, he was a mess, bro.
No, when you said the clear out,
yeah,
because I thought he was going for a tactic that.
Oh. You thought
friends of mine
are halfway through a 50, so you're knocking one out listening to what up. He's pumping one out
but
to G Unit.
There is nothing like that post nut clarity, is there? Nothing on this earth like post nut clarity. So he could have gone and done that, and then this girl Bundesliga could have been like, oh, whatever.
Yeah. She wasn't pleased. Anyway, she wasn't pleased because she had to sit next to somebody who could have vomited on her shoes for the whole concert, innit? Yeah. But yeah, no, I was just there and it was so funny. And I asked Smiley if I could tell my friends. I told my friends it's so funny, like, because during the concert, my mate turned to us and said, listen, yeah, look, it's cool. Like, this is crazy. We have nothing to do with this, but I can tell you one thing for a fact, yeah. I've got two sisters, yeah. And I could tell you everything about them, but I couldn't tell you how nice their asses were because I'm their brother. To which one of his mates, my mate said, I'll fucking tell you everything you want to know about their asses. And everyone went, nah! Like that.
He queued him up perfectly. Yeah. It was an alley-oop.
Yeah, and then he went, same guy went, I'll even tell you about your mum, bro. too far.
Oh,
but yeah, so it was good. So all that's happening alongside the whole concert, it was fucking fantastic, man. It was great. And it was just like a whole side drama that was so like, it was nothing. Nothing happened, innit? A guy got drunk. But within all of that, we heard some of the weirdest shit ever. The way he said it, they were like, yo, bro, she's got a massive ass and my sister's got none at all whatsoever. I was like, wow. As if like he's justifying.
I was going to say, that's your justification.
Yeah, he's justifying that, bruv. So yeah, that was very wild. Very, very wild.
This is the thing, is that I would thankfully never, ever, ever be in that position. I don't have any sisters. Thank fuck. So I would never be in that position. So I will never know how I would be in that situation.
Yeah,
but I like to think I would never say, yeah, my sister's not got any booty.
So I can be honest, I wouldn't be able to say anyone in my direct family, I cannot, and even my close friend's sisters, I can't see them anything other than just like goofballs. Like, it's a weird
a
thing.
What?
Goofballs.
Oh, right, yeah.
Sorry, I'm a bit unclear, but yeah, a goofy ball. Yeah, I can't see them other than sisters. I can appreciate they're pretty, but I can't see them in a... way, yeah. Like if they dropped something and picked up to bent over to pick it up, I wouldn't be like looking at them the way my guy was talking about.
Right,
like,
well,
yeah, my sister's got no ass. Like he's
just... like the fact that we're even talking about this and we're saying, oh well, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Is fucking mental, considering that, you know, 99% of people, I like to think, would not look at their own.
You don't look at your siblings in a sister, brother, sister, mum, dad. You don't look at anyone in your family in a sexual way. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Yes, it's crazy, bro. Yeah, so that was just a fun little story, man. It was a fun little drama on the side at 57.
It was. And
the way
honestly,
he said it, though, man, like, imagine that your brother-in-law is pretty much saying, look, like, not hall pass, but he was saying, like, whoa. Like,
imagine.
I can appreciate the pressure you're under.
That is possibly a better story than you saving someone's life.
Yeah, easy, man.
The amount of fucking plot twists and the amount of like the story elevated and then elevated again and then elevated again and there were fucking plot twists as opposed to you just digging some misguided woman out of a fucking
canal where really the canal probably, if she swam forward a few feet, she could have just stood up and got out. But yeah, you know what I mean? Should we have another Metaxa while we
probably should.
Look, should we go back to the 7 year just to see? I just want to, you know.
This is it.
But
yeah, what are you making excuses for?
Yeah, and I've got a surprise for you as well. I'm gonna get your surprise out. This is a new thing. People that come on the show, I'm gonna listen to how you'd like to kill time, and I'd like to.
Thank you.
And I'd like to kill some time. I'd like to give you a way to kill time. And this is, we can discuss this when you come back on the show. Now, when we last spoke, Rich, you said you unfortunately had a little issue with your headset. So, bro,
fucking
honestly,
first world problems. But yeah,
this here is it, I'll be honest, it's not top of the range, yeah. But this is my favorite headset at the moment that I use with Turtle Beach, bro.
Guy, thank you so much. That looks amazing because at the moment, like, I am getting mocked in my own flat by my missus because my headset is camouflaged and I play Call of Duty Warzone. She's like, you're getting into this far too much. Like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Is that the broken one that you got though? Is that?
That's the broken one. Yeah, that I've got.
So that's why that's fully wireless as well. Plugs into the PS. I think it also works with Xbox as well. You know.
Beautiful.
But PS, and also what I like about that was it the Stealth 700.
This is it. Yeah.
Gen 2. What I like about it is it connects your phone at the same time. So if you get a phone call halfway through the game, you can just answer it on your phone and keep it pushing. And all the game audio is in there, and your phone audio is in there as well. I swear to God, it's the maddest thing when I realised it could do that. Yeah.
That is incredible. But my missus is not going to listen to this, hopefully, because then I haven't got an excuse to not pick up the phone when I'm playing Warzone.
Yeah, only does it sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I do it with like, there's a couple games. What was I playing? I was playing something on the Nintendo Switch. No game chat. So I just used that and had a phone call. I think it was a Warrior Styler I did. I was playing Street Fighter or something. Streets of Rage or something.
Yes.
Use that. But yeah, man. There you go, bruv.
Thank you so much. And the original headset I've got is Turtle Beach, and it's incredible. So this is going
to
be...
Shout out to the gang at Turtle Beach and Kat and Lou at Lick. Bro, also there's that as well. This is an Atom controller. So basically, we're moving into this area now in gaming where we're very aware, and gaming companies are very aware, that even though we can have multiple screens, there's one big screen in the house. Yeah.
Fact.
And we know that as men, we like to think that we dominate that screen.
Again, fact.
Or so gamers, or male or female, or however you'd like to be addressed, you feel like you dominate that screen.
Exactly.
But when there's certain television shows on and you're with someone else, there's a compromise that doesn't go in your direction. So gaming on like screens that are like portable or mobile devices is the one, and that's the Atom controller. So apparently, you can use it to control your, you can game on it. I think it works with Xbox. I don't know how it works with PlayStation, but Remote Play, you can do that, shove your phone in the middle of it. So yeah, grab those things, crack on with them, and we can talk about them in a future show. I think I've got an Atom controller as well I can have a go on, and...
We definitely will. You're a top man. Thank you to
no
you
problem,
and Turtle Beach and Kat as well.
Yeah,
that's beautiful. And also, again, I lose the argument of who gets the TV because I want to play COD or I want to play FIFA or I want to play golf. Yeah, I said it. Yeah.
What golf game you play?
2K23.
Sweet.
With my mates, but I need the TV for it, whereas she can watch her television series on a laptop. Not anymore. You've done me in the best way possible, but the worst way possible.
But I don't get it, though. Like, if you're watching a fucking reality TV show, I can watch that on my phone. I watch shit like that on my... Because I'm not a reality TV show guy, per se, apart from 90 Day Fiancé UK Season 2. Only that. Season 2, not 1. If there's another one, I want to watch it. UK 90 Day Fiancé. 90 Day Fiancé UK Season 2. Bruv,
that's
highly recommend it to
really
you, bro.
That's really niche.
I would highly recommend that to you, bro.
That's really
I'm going
to
send you an episode. Honestly, I could send you a couple of episodes, and I think it might hook you in.
The only one that I would gravitate towards is Big Brother because it's all about psychology.
Yeah.
It makes me sound like a fucking loser, but it's true.
I'll be honest, I've not watched this season as much, so I've not been into it. Have you been across it at all, or you just mean like classically the way that they fuck with people?
The whole concept of it. The whole concept of putting complete strangers... You went to university.
Yeah.
I went to university.
Yeah.
Remember moving... It was like Big Brother in the first sort of 6 months. You move in with complete strangers and it's how you act and all this kind of thing.
Did you ever meet anyone at uni that tried to reinvent themselves?
Me.
Really?
How
did you...
A little bit. I was a fucking loser in secondary school.
Really?
And some would say I still am. But at least at university, like, I had a fresh start.
Yeah.
So, like, your scales are different and all that kind of thing.
How are you a loser then, though? I don't know. Like, because I tried to, at uni, I tried to do the opposite. I, like, wanted to be, like...
Yourself?
Translucent. Like, I wanted to be, like, I didn't want to be seen, bro. I wanted to just be, like, calm as fuck.
No, in secondary school, the only thing that saved me was being half decent at football.
Really?
I used to paint and collect Warhammer. Big gamer. Always been a big gamer.
Yeah.
And, like, when we were 13, 14, that wasn't as socially acceptable as it
Warhammer
is
was not... You don't talk about that at school.
Warhammer
bro.
Never has been. So, I mean, I love it, and I still nip into a games workshop every now and again. Just to have a little look. Trip down memory lane.
Can I be honest? I don't know how it works. What is it? Because
I don't know how it works.
From that, I'm like, you buy the thing, you paint it, do you take it to war now? Is there a game that you play? Is there like a game where you roll the dice?
You take it to
war. Is there like a... I feel like, do you have a little table?
It's like what I imagine... I never did Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah.
But it's like what I imagine Dungeons & Dragons is. You roll... You've got like two dice. I think one of them was like a... I can't even remember what the dice are, but like different dice are worth different weapons. Yeah. And blah, blah. We've lost like 3/4 of the audience.
Yeah, they've gone now. They fucked off. Yeah, but how do you... How, no, this thing I don't get is how do you stop someone from just having a big pocket money and buying all of the best Warhammers and killing you?
That... is the 2002 problem that we have today with like FIFA Ultimate Team or Call of Duty where people buy up weapons and buy up players and Ultimate Team.
All right, fair enough. But yeah, man, Warhammer. I didn't see, I could look, gaming, but Warhammer, have you still got them?
Nah.
You sold them or just threw them away?
Oh, my mum probably binned them.
Really? Thought,
what is this shit?
Did you paint them and everything? Like,
I put effort in.
Did you have the little eye, like the monocle that had the zoom in thing so you could get close, to it?
No. Like... If I could have afforded it, maybe.
You know what I mean? Like what the jeweler has to check if a diamond's real, you can check your painting currently.
But when I say I went in on my painting, I like painted the pupils and like the eyes, the white of the eyes and then pupils in as well. Like, and when I remember the first time I did that, I was gassed.
Wow.
You're never going to have me back on the show again, are you?
I have so many questions, bro.
I told you, loser. Yeah. And I discovered alcohol.
But like, is there instructions on how to paint it?
Yeah.
And do you have to buy specific paints? Is there like an eyeball white and like a sword silver?
We have lived in a capitalist society for how long?
Yeah.
Of course, there's an eyeball white.
Oh my God.
And this character's only got blue eyes. This character's got brown. Really? I made that a little bit up. But
how much does a Warhammer model cost? I have so many questions.
So, like,
because these shops have look like they're fucking around and they're staying around.
Can't believe it. Like every single time I see one, I'm pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
So there was like. The higher up the rank you go in your army, fuck me, Jesus, my missus is going to break up with me. The higher up rank you go in your army, the not necessarily the more expensive, but like you get specialist characters that you can buy on their own.
Yeah.
And this is back in the day, so I don't know about now. I don't know if it's changed. And they're like maybe 12 quid. But when I said the miniature's like, you know, 2 or 3 inches tall.
Yeah.
12 quid for a 2 or 3 inch tall.
So you could fuck up 200 quid.
I've never seen you so judgmental in your life.
I'm struggling to get my head around. Like, I get it. Like, I get collectibles where you just look at them. I get collectibles where it's like a plane. But with that, I was never aware of
of how they went to war, and it seems like there's ultimate enjoyment in just painting the correct color eyeballs. And
do you know what it is? Imagine chess.
Yeah.
But you get to like pick your kick-ass team instead of it just being a king.
It's like FIFA Ultimate Team, innit? But more tangible. Have more control. Yeah, yeah, more tangible. Yeah. Wow.
And far more nerdy.
Yeah.
If you are still listening to this, then let us know at the email address that Marcus is going to tell you, because fair fucking play.
Warhammer at howtokillanow.com.
You know what, but honestly, on a serious one, this would have divided the audience into nope or the 3% of the audience that's still, oh my God, leaning this guy gets this. It. Space Wolves for life and all
what
this.
What are Space Wolves?
It's one of the
chapters. Is it?
Yeah.
Chapters?
One of the... Right, so... Okay. Do you really want to do this?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. You can always edit it out.
Bro, you've got to quench my thirst for knowledge right now, bro.
In general?
Yeah. Come hit me with it, man.
That is a sign of a real student wanting to know about this.
Listen, I'm not gonna take the piss out of you until I know every angle.
Right. Fuck. Really setting myself up to fail here. Yeah. Right, so there's different, like, obviously, in chess, there's, you know, your different pieces that face off against each other. In Warhammer, it's exactly the same, but you can pick between ones that look like basically a rip-off of the aliens from Alien.
Okay.
Gene Stealers. Yeah, the Space Marines from the Alien films, or Aliens film.
Okay.
Which is the... Shit. Cadian Shock Troopers.
The Cadian Shock Troopers.
The way I am mining for memories and knowledge right now is mad.
You're good, though.
Right, and then you've got Space Marines, who were basically walking Terminators and got suits of armour and stuff like that. That's what I had. And then within those as well, the Space Marines, you had different chapters within the Space Marines. So you've got, like, the Ultramarines, the Blood Angels, the Space Wolves, the Dark Angels.
Okay. No, I'm not knocking that, because I feel like, you know, I've played games like Fallout 4 where there's different, like, factions and stuff.
Right. Just imagine that on a tabletop.
Have you played a game of Warhammer on a table?
Yeah.
How long does it take, like, a game?
Oh, I can't answer that. I cannot answer that.
I would play a game, bro. Like, listen, if you had the stuff, I'd sit down and play a game.
Games Workshop, if you're listening, get in touch with Marcus Bronzy at howtokillanow.com.
Would you do it?
I'd do it again, yeah.
I'd do a game.
I'm not going to lie. For a podcast, it would be the shittest episode of any podcast.
So we'd have to do it off the pod.
Yeah.
Could I borrow someone else's army, or would I need to know the intricacies of their space?
I don't. Do you know what I remember? Blood
angels.
Yeah, close enough.
Yeah.
I was going to say blood diamonds. It's not blood diamonds. Fuck. That's a completely different thing.
Risky.
It is blood angels. Yeah. Oh, I can't remember. I can't remember that far.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe we'll wrap up the show with a couple of jokes just to
bring the audience back.
For those of you, well, I don't know if we could. Don't know if we could do that. But I've got a couple jokes for you, right? And I think we're pretty much done. Have you got any jokes, Rich?
Listen, you can always pull them out of the fire. Whether they're good or not.
There you go. I've got some ones because you told me that they're not, I'm not edgy enough. You told me that you need something a bit harder. Like, you're a man.
Sorry?
You said you, whoa. couple drinks there. You said you need something that's got a little bit more edge to it than the silly dad jokes I've got. Not even edge is the wrong word, isn't it? You just need something that's got a bit more humour injected into it.
It's a genuine personality flaw that I don't laugh at enough things. Like, the stuff that I don't find funny, it's really upsetting.
Okay, well, I've been sent some.
Go on.
From the audience. What do a burnt pizza, a frozen beer, and a pregnant woman have in common?
God, it's going to be something sexist, isn't it? They all... produce the good. I don't know.
Some poor sod forgot to pull out.
Wait, what?
Burnt pizza, frozen beer, and a pregnant
frozen
woman.
Frozen beer. Yeah, sorry. Oh fuck.
You like that? Yeah. I thought you'd like that.
It's fine. It's fine. It's there. It's there. Okay. It's in right. the. Yeah. It's right. there. It exists.
Okay. Cool. All right. Right.
I'm not going to deny that joke's existence. Right.
What's the difference between Iron Man and Iron Woman?
Jesus Christ. Here we go. Go on.
One's a superhero, the other's a command.
Oh, no. Oh, fuck. Shit. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Right, cool.
Yeah.
All right. I got a longer one for you as well. All right.
I'm so annoyed at myself for laughing at that.
Ah, well, you know, it's just jokes, isn't it? This is a classic.
Go on.
Right, I'm going to try not to step all over this.
Old man. Do you want another one? Go on, let's go for the 12 again.
Your wish is my command.
Whatever you fancy, bro. I'll have it in the glass. A hunter goes into the woods to hunt a bear. He carries his trusty 22-gauge rifle with him. After a while, he spots a very large bear, takes aim, and fires. There's smoke everywhere. When the smoke clears, the bear is gone. A moment later, the bear taps the hunter on the shoulder and says, "No one shoots at me and gets away with it. You have two choices. I can rip your throat out and eat you, or you can drop your trousers and bend over, and I'll..."
I mean, I was wondering if when you said bear, you're referring to the... how do I phrase this? You might have to edit this out. Homosexual role?
Oh, yeah. Not that. It's just an actual bear.
Oh!
Yeah, cool. But the bear says, you're going to get...
bummed?
Yeah.
Bear-backed?
Bear-backed. Yeah, you're going to get bear-backed.
Yeah.
I like that, actually. You have two choices. I can rip your throat out and eat you, or you can drop your trousers, bend over, and get bear-backed.
Yeah.
There you go. So...
Oh, that wasn't the punchline.
The hunter decides that anything is better than death. So he drops his trousers and bends over, and the bear does what he said he would do. After the bear has left, the hunter pulls up his trousers and staggers back into town, pissed. He buys a much larger gun and returns to the forest. He sees the same bear, cocks the trigger, aims and fires. When the smoke clears, the bear is gone. A moment later, the bear taps the hunter on the shoulder and says, "You know what to do." The hunter goes, Afterwards, the hunter pulls up his trousers, crawls back into town and says, "F it." He buys a bazooka. Yeah. He's vexed. He storms back into the forest, sees the bear, locks onto the target and fires. The force of the bazooka knocks him flat on his back. He's lying there in a daze of smoke and mist. As it starts to clear, he sees the bear standing over him and the bear says, "You're not doing this for the hunting, are you?"
Do you know what? Oh, man. I want to know who wrote that. And I want to know how.
It's a good
joke. Did you think of that?
Well, it's a good
joke.
How
did your brain go to a place where an actual grizzly bear is bumming a hunter? Or, you know.
I mean, I like it. It's out there. It's out there.
That's out there. One fucking praise for it.
So there you go. I'm done. I'm done for jokes. What have you got for me, Richard Driss?
That's fine. Let's go hunting for jokes.
The Warhammer Don, you know. Was it Warhammer 40K? What was that? What's the 40K
one
about?
Because it was the futuristic one, whereas there's Warhammer Original, which was like Lord of the Rings. And then there's the futuristic one, which is the one I was into.
That's the cool one, yeah.
Which is the cool one.
So you lot were like mock the original Warhammer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nerds. Fuck those nerds. Yeah. Alright, first joke I've come across.
They're going to make out of Star Wars people.
Oh, you love Star Trek, don't you?
I like both. But I've got to say, man, I've got to go for the show, which has had 50 years of consistently good IP.
Sure.
Star Wars is playing a bit of catch up right now. Disney, I believe you got it, but Star Trek.
Good is a broad term as well. I bet if we looked back in time at the worst moments, they would be hysterical.
Of what, both of those shows? Yeah. Oh, bruv. There's some horrible stuff. But I like sci-fi, whereas Star Wars is sci-fantasy. So I like a bit more of, because it's more like ninjas, like there's like samurai stuff, like, you know, you've got, you know, the way that Jedi Knights are, it's like, you know, you've got, you know, I'm forgetting the name for it. What do you call your like master? Padawan. You got Padawan. Padawan.
No,
and all
Padawan
that
isn't the master. It's the
sorry,
it's apprentice.
Yeah, the apprentice. Yeah, Padawan and all that stuff. That's a bit more like, you know, like, yes, like, you know, like samurai stuff. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? A lightsaber is basically a samurai sword, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
whereas
yeah,
Star
yeah.
Wars, it's like, you
well,
know.
Jedi is now known as a recognized religion.
Really?
Jedi, bruh. I swear, Jedi is like a recognized religion now.
Wow.
Sure it is.
Imagine putting that on paperwork, your passport. It's like Klingon is an official language as well now. You can learn it.
Are you joking?
Yeah. Why is that? How has that made your face do that? But the fact that you can have a religion as a Jedi not?
Because
how
knew,
is that like? Just someone saying that that's a language. How, wait, what?
Because
what's the, your face almost turned inside out
because,
at the thought of that.
Right, because a language is more niche than a religion. And I'm not a religious person, but a religion is like the way you live your life.
Yeah.
Whereas a language is just what you speak.
Yeah.
So it's more niche.
Okay.
Do you see what I'm saying?
It's a bigger deal to have a religion as a... Like, if my religion was Klingon, yeah? Like, not that that's their religion. If I believed in, like... What's it called? Oh, my God. All my Trek culture guys are going to rip me for not remembering of where I... Stovacor. Yeah. Basically, it's where Klingons, you know, anyway, look, we won't get into it now.
We're but, even now for the yeah. Warhammer thing. That's for sure. Definitely.
But yeah, anyway, look, if I said my religion was a Klingon religion, that's a reach. But speaking the language is like just cool, isn't it? Like, you know.
Cool to who?
It's also cool, isn't it?
It's fucking useless.
Yeah, but so is being a Jedi as your religion, because it's made up. It's made up, not like, well, most religions are made up, but it's made up so recently that we can watch a film about it.
Yeah, but you might have to cut this, but to me, religion is just useless full stop.
Yeah, well, I think that's a valid opinion.
Like,
that's a valid, I just said all religions were made up. There you go. Like, yeah, yeah,
arbitrary
yeah.
rules made by someone who yeah. we don't, yeah.
Yeah, all religions are made up, but this has been made up 20 years ago. It's too close to home, bruv. I can watch a movie. There's no movie that was made that far back about, you know, like The Passion of Christ only came out recently, innit? And we know that was made after the book.
Yeah.
Was written many times.
That's true.
Anyway, we're going on a spiral out now. Right now. Right, anyway.
Honestly, from Warhammer to cancelled. Just like that. Right. A man was driving down the road when a policeman stopped him. The officer looked in the back of the man's truck and said, "Why are these penguins in your truck?" The man replied, "These are my penguins. They belong to me. You need to take them to the zoo," the policeman said. The next day, the officer saw the same guy driving down the road. He pulled him over again. He saw the penguins were still in the truck, but they were wearing sunglasses this time. Nearly nailed the read of this. I fucked it.
Just like me. It's all good. God damn it. We're balanced now. Even.
But they were wearing sunglasses this time.
Sorry. So that got
Shout out to Invisalign. But they were wearing sunglasses this time. There you go. "I thought I told you to take these penguins to the zoo," the officer said. "I did," the man replied. "And today I'm taking them to the seaside."
Fucking hell. Okay.
I can't believe you laughed at that.
That is
the very first time I read that. I mean, if you didn't get it, you'd be a fucking idiot.
I get it. I sniggered. That was it, bro.
Are you happy with yourself, though?
Forgetting it. Yeah, I mean, I'm not. My joke intelligence is very low. I like it.
You cannot be happy with yourself for getting a joke as basic as that.
Oh, wow.
You can't. Why did chicken cross the road?
Don't. I was literally going to say that's right. One of the ones to get to the other side. I'm like, yes, nailed it.
Yeah,
exactly. Woo! Next exactly. One, IQ.
Right, okay. Again, I'm reading these for the first time. A snail goes to buy a car.
Mm-hmm.
The salesman is surprised when the snail picks out a fast, expensive sports car. He's even more surprised when the snail requires that a big red S be painted on both sides.
Mm.
"Why would you want such a thing?" asked the salesman. The snail replied, "I want people to say, look at the S car go." I mean, I think it says all it needs to be said that there was, I mean, it looked like you were trying to mask some sort of smirk. That's funnier than the joke itself.
We reserved that for a very special game. I mean, I hear that all the time with my jokes. So this is the first ever sad trombone card. Decent, though.
Hang on. What was decent? The
for me, but for the rest of the world, I don't think they like
that. I think the read itself was decent.
The read was good.
Hey, come
on. Man, you're a better reader than me.
Come on.
Yeah.
Any voiceover agents out there that want to sign up?
You've done VOs before, haven't you? You got a VO voice.
For the purposes of Blue Peter, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I could see you could sell something. Like I'd buy
what?
Home-based
exactly.
furniture from you. You could tell me that my furniture is half the price this season.
I'd buy bicep implants from you. Yes. Sorry.
You know what?
Be proud.
A man looks after himself, eats a couple chicken salads and goes to the gym, gets rinsed by him. Leave this in the audience. What was funny is there was, I can't remember his name, I think it was Nathan, but it was a friend of Kay's came in the room. Guy was wham, hench. Right. And I shook hands with him. And because he had he got massive hands. It made like that noise. And everyone was like, "All right, Marcus, chill out. Just because a guy that's coming in the room is bigger than you, why are you trying to over alpha him?" I was like, "I'm not, man. I'm shaking his hand." The guy walks in the room and I swear, bruv, he had to duck under the door frame. Yeah. And I just went to shake his hand. And yeah, man, I got rinsed for that.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, is that just because he's had to walk under the door frame doesn't make him wham. Like, I would know. I'm tall, but I'm built like a fucking super noodle. No, sorry, a noodle.
Yeah.
Super noodle would imply...
He was hench, though, bruv. Right. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was...
You were just trying to recreate that predator handshake, weren't
bro,
you?
Bro, yeah, it was like that. Yeah, but, yeah, like, yeah. I think someone says, who said it? under their breath. As we hit hands, it was like a Dragon Ball Z thing when two fists hit each other. It was like a fucking Superman fighting Zod or whatever. It was like, absolutely no chance. Anyway, I believe this has been an episode of How to Kill an Hour. Wow, what an episode it has been. Where can we find you, Mr. Richie Driss?
Sorry, is that how you want to summarise it? Right, I believe this has been an episode.
I believe this has been a whole episode.
I believe.
I mean, look, there's two parts that we've recorded for a toilet break. We've had a fantastic interview with Somerton Whiskey Club.
You saved a life and you accidentally wingman someone.
Saved a life, accidentally broke a marriage up or wingman somebody. You're sitting there trying to like kiss like it's Christmas Day.
Yeah.
You know, we tried something new as well. Spirits. Well, it's been a very interesting episode. I mean, all we need now is a name, which is going to be Warhammer 40K.
That's going to drive everyone away from the episode.
SC, bring them in with the SE.
That's going to drive everyone away from the episode. You're trying to generate
Warhammer 50 Cent. There we go. I think we can go from there. There we go.
There you go.
So this has definitely been an episode of How to Kill an Hour. There you go. Where can we find you, Richie Driss?
I'm on the socials. Twitter, Bebo, Xbox, Instagram. Most specifically, at Richie Driss. I don't know who spells Richie with a T. There's no point. Like, okay. Richard is not spelled with a T. So why would you put T in Richie?
I don't know, bro. Driss. I'm not going to put a T in it. It's Richie, R-I-C-H-I-E. Anyway, Marcus Bronzy and How to Kill an Hour on all socials as well. We'll be in your ears soon after a long sleep and some hydration.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.